Hello, everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who is real good at remembering that I never do the intros, and I gotta start doing those at the beginning. Poor Jeremy.
Ooh, just straight vodka.
Yeah.
Look at you. Jesus Christ.
It's not true. It's not true. It's not straight vodka.
Oh.
It's a martini with that had several ice cubes in it when I thought I was going to be on here earlier, and now they've melted. So it's the water level has risen drastically in my martini.
Super cold, though. Super cold.
Super cold. It is super cold. It's quite cold. It's the coldest.
Stella, the other day, when we were getting ready for one of our softball games, there was no more ice left in our ice maker because we had the water main break the other day. So to throw out all the ice for the entire day. So the only ice left in the freezer were my like enormous whiskey ice cubes. So she's like trying to shove these huge whiskey ice cubes down into her little insulated cup. I was like, "You can." I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry about this.
Here's a hammer.
Yeah,
will this help?
So she showed up a softball game like the child of the greatest lush in the world. Like, oh yeah, I have nothing but whiskey ice cubes in here.
Yeah, how'd your water main turn out? Looks like your sidewalk got pretty fucked, huh?
It got proper fucked. Yeah, it's gone. It's completely gone. Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, no one's walking around your neighborhood anyway, so no. I don't think you need it.
No, we're far enough off the beaten path that we really don't need a sidewalk. I think we're just going to let it return to the earth.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Same with the driveway and most of the retaining wall. All return to the earth. Yeah.
Great.
Get a tax break on it. Well, it'll be a natural prairie. Looking
forward
to it.
Yeah, get some wildflowers going in there.
Absolutely, yeah. Raise some hogs.
I love that for you. Hogs in the yard. Definitely.
Hogs in the front, hogs in the back.
So Amy's out of the country again.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
How's that? How's that going for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Very frantic. Very, very frantic. Very frantic.
You made time for us tonight anyway. It's good.
Of course. Absolutely. I don't have time to make for us the rest of the week, but I do have time to make for us tonight.
No, I mean, children just running feral upstairs?
No. June is asleep.
Oh.
I know. I'm as surprised as you are.
Very good.
Yeah. Gloria's reading a book. Stella's watching a television show quietly. They all have to go to bed in 42 minutes. So
they putting themselves to bed these days?
The big ones are, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a dream.
I know. Dude, you'll get there. You'll get there.
When does that happen?
Ooh, 8, 9 maybe, something like that.
So far away. I'm not going
to
make it.
But they both got to be there. So you got to, like, the youngest one has to get to that 8, 9.
Oh, yeah.
Because if the big one sees you're still babying the other one, she's like, well, I need that too. But once the little one gets like 8 or 9, then you're good.
Just give him a little shot of scotch and say, go to bed.
Smack on the ass and send him upstairs.
Sounds great.
If anybody's interested, the water main in front of my house, I'm sorry, like my actual like branch off of the water main blew off of the main water main, which you'll note it's supposed to stay attached to that.
That's I was going to ask if that's how it's supposed to normally
be. It's not one of those removable ones. It's not like,
okay.
We don't have that kind of money. So yeah, it exploded off of it. Like literally... Amy was, leaving for Honduras, right? Mm-hmm. Amy's in Honduras right now. I feel comfortable saying that because we're not going to publish this for a few weeks. But she's in Honduras right now. So she's leaving the house.
For all our Honduran listeners who are just waiting for a mediocre podcast host spouse to come down to like a kidnap for tens of dollars.
Oh, they're sharpening their knives. Like, yes. Oh, damn it. She just left. What was I saying? So the night she was leaving, she was going to leave the house like 2 a.m. to catch her flight. And so I said, well, I'll take care of, cleaning up dinner, getting the kids bathed, that way you can go to bed at like 7 o'clock. So she'd just taken her shower. She was starting to get relaxed, starting to get into bed. I got the kids all quieted down. And all of a sudden I get this like cop knock on the front door. It's like wham, 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 wham. Oh, Jesus. So I'm like, well, it must be one of the really annoying neighbor kids. And open up the front door. And it's my immediate next door neighbor, and she says, you have to come outside right now. And I'm like, what is there, like a rainbow or something? What the fuck? So,
this is Care Bear level, everybody. Get out here right now.
And I look over her shoulder, and I see the sidewalk. Two panels from the sidewalk have completely bent themselves up in the air, and there is a water main erupting in front of my home. So,
man, the pictures you sent me were insane. I would not have believed you were telling the truth when you said that two panels of sidewalk were bent up.
Yeah.
Your driveway is washed away. It's gone.
It's gone.
Like,
correct.
There were like components of your driveway just floating down the street.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So it takes quite a bit of force to make concrete float, but by God, when it does.
What? Any idea what happened?
Not really. Yeah.
To the water main.
Yeah. Not a lot. The guys that came to service it got there right around whenever the kids finally went to bed, and they worked until 4 o'clock in the morning replacing it. Which
I bet they loved that.
They did, and thankfully they were very quiet about it. You know,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that was nice. Well, I mean, as quiet as they could be, I guess. So they were.
Yeah. Well, it could be louder.
They could be cussing as well. They could have the, they could have the radio on as well. They could be listening to Casey while they're doing this. So.
Is Casey still around?
Casey is very much still around.
Hell yeah, yes. Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is, are you going to repair things?
Waiting for
that podcast money to come in so you can, get a new driveway?
Funny thing is that the water company is actually responsible for all the damage because it's their service that blew up. But it's, the account is in Amy's name. So they're desperately trying to get a hold of her. Her phone is not on this continent right now. So not sure what'll happen. Well,
that's great.
We'll let God sort it out.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. There's like, isn't there like a 3-day window on those things? Like you don't set it up in 3 days. It's gone. It's done. The deal's off the table. And,
yeah.
You're on your own.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry if you really want to water guys, but that's not going to happen anymore. or driveway.
Well, sorry to hear that.
It was fun. It was literally when the girls got back in the house, they both said, "That was the most fun I've ever had." I was like, "Well, I'm glad somebody had a blast."
Fucking Hoosier ass kids you got running over there.
They were already in pajamas. They have like pajamas. They've taken showers and they're in fucking galoshes running through floodwater. I'm like, well, you know what?
Yeah, great.
And I'm sitting there with a 12 pack of Aldi ale, passing out beers to all the neighbors in the front yard while we're all watching this shit go down.
These workers are these fucking people. That's cool.
That's pretty exciting.
Well, we're putting our house on the market pretty soon. And our deadline to have like all the fixes done to the house is so that they can get photos for the listing. Mm-hmm. It's like a week from this coming Friday. So we got like 2 weeks left, a little less than 2 weeks. And we had a guy we found on TaskRabbit came in a few weeks ago to do like a consultation. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Yeah, I can do this and that." So we paid him for the consultation, 2-hour minimum.
Mm.
Or his consultation, which I didn't love, but he was like, "Oh, I'll knock that off, the price of the materials or whatever. So he scheduled it, and then he had to keep bumping it back, bumping it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, Aaron's like, "Okay, we have to start this job like on Monday.
Yeah.
Like, can you please just please be here Monday because we're running out of time."
Yep.
He goes, "Actually, I'm not going to take the job." So we have our bathroom upstairs. I don't know if you recall, probably not, but it needs a cosmetic lift, but it's outdated certainly. So we have a new sink. We bought all these fucking things.
Yeah.
So we have a new sink. We have new flooring. We have all this stuff, but also it's not just the cosmetic parts because, at one point Aaron started taking up the tiles of the floor to see what kind of floor.
Out of boredom.
So we're like, we're going to do this eventually anyway.
Yeah.
So,
I've done it before too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sitting there on the toilet. She just goes, ding, ding.
I've been sitting there on the toilet and you're like, "Man, I forgot my bringing my phone. What am I going to do?" And I just peel up half the tile like a fucking bored Dalmatian in there. So it's
that's right. So we got like a third of the floor is gone. And then when we first moved in, we had to get a new toilet. And the toilet that was in there was a very small, like older toilet.
They don't make them
small anymore.
I barely fit on that thing.
You did not.
It was like one cheek, and then I had to like...
Had to do the lean. Yeah. The other lean. The rock back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a new one, but there was a ledge over the toilet, like a ceramic ledge, that no longer... You had to break it out so the toilet would fit. And so there's just like this like... It's like horizontal line ripped across the wall where we took that thing out. So it definitely needs like... It needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty dire situation. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, "I'm not taking the job." And so Aaron is like, "Well, looking forward to getting that consultation money back."
Yeah.
And he texted her back and said, "God bless." So mad. So I go to TaskRabbit, and first of all, I gave him, I was very pleased to learn I had not yet reviewed him or rated him.
Yeah.
So we took care of that real quick. That was step one. And then I reached out to TaskRabbit, and I told them what had happened. I was like, this is unacceptable. Like, this guy just, like, stole our money. He's like, and they took a few days, and they just got back to me about a half hour ago. And they said, well, actually, this has been, it took longer than 30 days for you to file a complaint. So, our hands are clean. Good luck. And it was, I looked, it was like 32 days. I'm so mad. So mad.
Somebody who knows the TaskRabbit requirements very, very well.
So I wrote a very, very powerfully worded email back to TaskRabbit that, included, many words that I don't think I would, should say out loud on this podcast.
Even. More like ass rabbit.
Like ass grab it. So mad. So anyway, so now we have this bathroom that needs to be totally fixed, and we have less than 2 weeks to do it, and or else we lose, you know, like $10,000 of resale value on our home. So anyway, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Sure. Maybe, but what you could do, could you see if you can maybe get the water main to blow up in your bathroom?
That's then, a good idea.
I mean,
that's a good idea. Yeah, give me a tip. What do you, okay. Well, let me just pause the recording here. Boop, boop. Yep. Okay, now it's just us. Yep. You can tell me what you did to blow up your water.
One stick of dynamite. That's all it took. It was really it.
Where did you find dynamite?
No, the hard part wasn't finding it. It was shoving it into the pipe. That was the hard part. You did light it, then shove with the broomstick, and then run away.
And put a plunger, boop, 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 to get it really down in there.
Yeah. That's all it took.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll look on Facebook Marketplace, see what I can find.
You have to make sure that the dynamite says property of water company, though, because that's what gets
if they trace that, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, now are you ready for a ghost story?
I'm ready. We're 20 minutes into the recording.
Am I missing anything else?
We clapped. We did the intro. We bullshitted for 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes in between there.
I think we're in good shape.
All right. Very good. Classic classic recording day.
Mm-hmm. Bong.
Bong. Ding. Roger Williams was born in 1603, probably in London, England.
How many like big city was London it back then? I mean, there's probably
London's still it.
Yeah, well, I know London's still it, but like big cities back then, 1603,
like in the world or
in the world? The UK? I'm talking on this planet. I mean,
Rome.
Rome was it London. Big though? Was it or was it between
seconds? I mean, famously, I think it was quite large.
Yeah.
It was empire size for a while. In 1603, I don't know.
It was probably between sackings. I think it was probably,
This was like a ChatGPT question. How many big cities were there in 1603? The definition of big city was quite different from what it might be today. That's a fucking thing. Oh, here we go. Okay, you ready for this?
I am ready.
Beijing.
Okay.
Istanbul. Tokyo. Cairo. Mexico City. Lisbon and London.
That was it.
That's it.
All right, that's fair.
And Rome is not on the list.
I told you. It was
this AI stuff.
Yeah.
Famously anti-Italian. So we can't really trust it. So this guy though was born in London. His name was Roger Williams, and he was the son of a merchant tailor. So he was pretty well off, I guess. He wasn't his dad wasn't digging like mud and separating it from his dad wasn't, shit in the street.
Yeah, like picking coins out of spit jars and things like that.
So he's doing okay. He went to school at Cambridge and eventually became, he's fine. He eventually became a chaplain there. So he's into religion as well.
Okay.
Big religious guy. I don't know exactly how you would categorize his religious affiliation, but the it looks like the more he worked with Puritans, the more he was like, man, these guys suck. So he was anti-Puritan, I think was his religion.
Okay.
He didn't like it there anymore, so he gave the Puritans the bird, and he set sail for the New World, which is basically what the New World is for, religious freedom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's going to do that. He's going to go be free with his religion. It's freedom to hate Puritans. So Williams arrives in Boston mm-hmm. in 1631.
Mm-hmm. Which is apparently...
famously not on the list.
Yeah, not on the list. Yeah.
The small town of Boston.
Boston. Even at that time. Second-rate city.
So he gets off the boat. And he's like, ah, oh, man, I am so glad to be in this place where I can celebrate my religious freedom. And he steps off the boat, and everyone who's there to welcome him says, hello, we're Puritans. He says, oh, no.
Why did I skim the brochure?
So it's not long before he moves out, and he goes and he joins the separatist colony in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Plymouth. If you liked a good Plymouth ghost story, you could go back and listen to our, I think, last Thanksgiving.
I believe so. Yep.
The last Thanksgiving episode about the Plymouth turkey ghosts. That made it sound like there were ghosts of turkeys. That's not what that's about.
I don't remember it.
But that would be awesome. Plymouth was great for him for a while. They were super cool. They were definitely not Puritan, and he liked that a lot.
Hmm.
But a couple years later, in 1633, Williams gets into an argument with some of the other settlers of Plymouth. And I don't know what the argument was about, but it was so heated that he said, fuck this place too. And he moves again, and he goes to Salem.
Mm. It sounds like one of those like, if you meet two assholes in a day, maybe you're the asshole type thing. Like,
I was just thinking the same thing. He may not be a hero of our story. So here's Salem, and if you want to hear more about Salem ghosts, mm-hmm. check out Bunghole Liquors. So the argument, oh no, I do have notes here. I do have, this is the argument that got so heated that he had to leave. The argument was that he, Williams, thought that the king's patent, which is what gave him control of the new world, mm-hmm. he just said, like, this is mine now.
Right.
Williams thought that that was invalid, and the only thing that could actually give the king the actual rights to the land was a direct purchase of that land from the Indians.
He's very forward-thinking.
So I think he's back. He is the hero of this
story. Yeah.
We're back. It's been a few days since I took these notes. I'd forgotten.
Oh, interesting. So there was apparently, I wouldn't say a movement, but there was at least one dude there.
There was one. We got one.
Yeah.
One guy. Yeah, who was we should buy this.
Yeah, he was born like 170 years too early, but that's fine. You know,
got to start somewhere. Yeah. And everyone else is like, you get the fuck out of here with that. You cannot stay here. So he moves to Salem in 1633. And that goes very well, because there's a lot of like-minded people there, too.
Mm.
Well, it goes well at least until 1636. When he's thrown out of Salem for his dangerous views. Just kidding. They hated the land rights thing. They thought that Native Americans should not be consulted and certainly not paid for their land. But besides the views on land rights, he also held that magistrates had no right to interfere in matters of religion.
Hmm.
So he's also big on separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not having it.
Yeah. Is it one of these things where, like, they find a photo of him holding a cell phone or something? You're like, wait a second. Hold on.
Is that Ryan Reynolds? So in 1636, he's forced to move again. I wrote a joke here. I wrote just a little throwaway joke.
Sure. Yeah.
This guy moves so much. Who is he? Me?
It's pretty good. I like it. Yeah. Do you keep being chased from town to town because of your progressive views?
Yeah.
<That's> I mean, only one time I can recall that happening. So this time
it is basically why we left Missouri, I think. And if that is the case, I don't know how long we're going to make it in Stanton, Virginia. It is wild. I'm about to move states for the second time since we started this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even 2 years old. Was this episode 102, I think?
That sounds weird. Right.
Just shy of the 2 year mark. Sucks. Anyway, so in January 1636, Williams travels to Narragansett Bay. Yes, Narragansett Bay, as you know, home of.
Was that the lady that breaks into the. Into the prisoner of war camp?
Maybe.
Okay.
don't know anything about Narragansett Bay. I was hoping you would know.
No, no.
I think that was right outside of Boston.
Okay.
So I think he was there, and then he's not there anymore.
Yeah. He's already taken the Is This a Ghost tour.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. The boss went to, he's hitting some highlights. So that spring, then, he purchases some land from the Narragansett Indians. So he actually puts his money where his mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and he buys some land from the Indians, and he founds the town of Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, my God. The worst town in the world.
Let me ask ChatGPT if that's accurate.
Is Providence, Rhode Island the worst town in the world?
I don't want to lead. Let's see. What's the worst town in the world? ChatGPT says, it's tough to pin down the worst town in the world, as this could be influenced by many factors, such as... God, just give me an answer.
Just tell me it's in Rhode Island, at least.
Oh, he won't even give me an answer? He won't even play the game. Okay. Is Providence, Rhode Island the worst town in the world? Providence, Rhode Island is definitely not considered the worst town in the world.
It's a little immediately defensive. I like that.
It's coastal elites. All right. Anyway. So he founds Providence and he founds Rhode Island. You don't like Providence?
Not a big
deal. Have you been there beyond the time we just drove very quickly through it?
Flew through it and waved? No. That was it.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking. We didn't really spend time there.
No.
Although, is that where we saw Alan Blade? Where was Alan? No, it was
Connecticut. I was in Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Alan Blade. So he founds Providence with purchased land from the Narragansett Indians, and Providence becomes an actual safe haven for religious freedom.
Mm.
He's like, I've done it. I've set up my own spot. Anyone can come here, worship whatever you want. It's going to be great. So like I said, he founds Rhode Island. In 1643, he sails back to England to obtain a charter for Rhode Island from the king. That was in 1643. They made him sail back again in the 1650s to have it confirmed. They're like, yeah, we'll get it to you. Go back to the New World. We'll tell you when it's ready. And like 10 years later, they're like, all right, come back. So Williams was the first president of the Rhode Island colony. And he was known throughout the area as a peacemaker with the Narragansett Indians.
Okay.
Anyway, so he sets up Rhode Island, and a few years after he did, the town of Burrillville became part of the Providence Plantation, which is just the kind of the general area around Providence.
Mm-hmm. Providence Metro. And,
yes. So it's called Burrillville today, but at the time it was called Gloucester. I want to say Gloucester, but they're gonna yell.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know, yeah. Yeah. Now if it was in the Midwest, if it was in the Midwest, we would absolutely call it
Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Gloucester. But now it's Burrillville. Anyway, so in 1680, Williams deeded a huge parcel of the land in Burrillville to the Richardson family. Now, who are the Richardsons?
I do not know.
That makes two of us. But they were all in on religious freedom, so Williams gave them a big old chunk of land in Rhode Island in 1680. Apparently, this is the thing he did. He just chunked it up and said, you know, if like-minded people can come here, you can just have some land.
Yeah.
He was just literally giving it away.
What am I doing with it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to go be free? Go be free over there. And you go be free over there.
I will say, if you come 1 foot over my line here, I will blow your fucking head off.
I will cut you in half, I swear. But over there, beef totally free.
Oh. So the Richardson family buys they are deeded the land in 1680. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, got to get that land surveyed. So
otherwise, how will you know it's land? It's, you know, it could be anything. This feels so more like sea. I don't know. It's would $20 make it seem more like land?
I got a little wet walking around here today. It's raining. Yeah. I don't know. Feels like ocean. This particular piece of property was surveyed by none other than John Smith.
Oh, I recall him.
The Pocahontas meat Muppet himself.
Mm-hmm.
Meow. The cartoon version of him is much more handsome than the real version of him.
I mean, the cartoon version of everybody is probably more handsome.
I don't know
even,
if that's true.
Even Quasimodo is more handsome in the cartoon. So,
you think so? That's ChatGPT.
Is Disney Quasimodo or real life Quasimodo hotter?
Remember the old website Hot or Not?
I do remember that, yeah.
You just do one of those, except with the Disney animation up against the real picture, and mm-hmm. see what happens. Yeah, that was a gross sight, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, hang on. I have a cat in a shelf. One moment. Wait, pause. One moment.
Okay, sure. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh my god.
Now you're in snuggle prison for the rest of the episode. That little baby.
Yeah, I got a little wire here you can chew on if you want, okay? Alright. Alright.
You good? You look good.
I'm good. I'm fine. He's not. He's going to be in trouble. He knows.
He is looking. He does not like being on camera.
No.
He is not sure about this.
Shush.
Hey, cat, you want to be a star? You do?
Don't go in the show.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Hotornot.com, mm-hmm. Patrick's favorite website from 2002.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Facebook basically born out of Hotornot.com?
Oh, I think it is.
I believe so.
I think it is. Anyway, so the Richardson plot ended up, according to John Smith, it was more than 1,000 acres. It's a hell of a chunk of land.
Hmm.
Now, since the 17th century, that land has stayed mostly in the hands of families that have passed it down. So it went from the Richardson family to the Arnold family. And the Arnold family built a new house on the property in 1736. This is a sizable house. One source said it had 14 bedrooms. Now, it's not that sizable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has 14 rooms.
Still a lot of rooms.
Yeah. And I got a picture of it for you right here. This is the house still standing today.
It's not a 14-bedroom house. I will say that much.
Maybe it goes back.
Maybe it's just like
back and back.
Maybe there's those like standing up bedrooms.
Or maybe the rooms are very small.
Yeah.
This here, 4 rooms.
Yeah. You can stack people up like cordwood in that corner right there.
Like those Japanese sleeping closets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So maybe. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. No. So this is the house. Anyway, I don't know how many rooms it actually has, but it's a good size house. This is a hard house to build in the 1700s.
Yes, agreed.
That's a lot of work. A
lot of angles. I wouldn't even know. Yeah. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
No way. Absolutely not. So anyway, good size house. So eventually the Arnold family dies out and the house passes from the Arnolds to the Butterworths.
Of Mrs. Fame.
The most delicious neighbors we've ever had. It goes from the Butterworths to the Kenyon family. And then eventually in 1971, January specifically 1971, the property was purchased by Roger and Carolyn Perrone.
Mm.
So now we're in the 70s.
All right.
The roaring 70s. They put a hot tub in every floor.
Heart-shaped hot tub in all 14 bedrooms.
Roger was a truck driver, and I don't know the economics of long hauling, but the Perrones were pretty cash strapped.
Okay.
Which may have been due in part, at least, to the fact that they had 5 daughters.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. that's not gonna fill your pockets.
Although it does explain the truck driving. So
God, honey, I gotta go to the state.
This medical degree, it's really wearing on me. I really think I need to get into long haul trucking.
I got an order. You know, we've been to California, but there's a state beyond that. It's real far beyond. California actually is only just half of this country. Yeah. No one knows that yet. But I'm gonna be gone for a real long time.
I will let you know when I get back on land.
So their 5 daughters were Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cindy, and April. When they found this big farmhouse with 14 rooms, allegedly, that was in their budget, they were very excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were exuberant.
Not suspicious, though.
No, they were not suspicious.
Why would you be?
They were so excited. So they move in. And almost immediately, they start to notice some strange things happening in the house.
Uh-oh.
I've been thinking about this actually a lot because, not necessarily in terms of ghosts, but in terms of selling and buying a house, there's so much like small and sometimes big shit that when you're inspecting a house, even or like looking to buy a house, you have no idea, and you're just gonna find out once you live there.
Sure.
Can you like ghosts are even that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's way harder because like some the inspection will catch some things. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's gonna catch ghosts.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, I mean,
we bought this.
You could probably set one up. You could probably say, well, you know, I want a sewer line inspection. I want a radon test, you know, for my family's safety, right? I want to come back at 1 o'clock in the morning with candles and incantations just to see if there's ghosts. And then I want to take a look at the roof. And that's it.
You know, that's, salt. Yeah. I'm going to need a lot of salt, a big circle of salt.
Right, that's going to be real important. If you don't mind, I won't make a mess.
So they move in. So things start going wrong immediately. It starts out small. Like the broom would go missing, and it would show up in places where Carolyn hadn't left it. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, the mom, she would hear the sound of something scraping against the kettle.
Okay.
Which feels weird and specific.
Mm-hmm.
She would find small piles of dirt in the middle of a newly cleaned kitchen floor.
That's just having five kids right there.
I was going to say this is called children. But then the girls start seeing ghosts, like actually seeing ghosts.
Ooh.
And then the house starts smelling sometimes like rotting flesh.
But none of theirs. They're not rotting.
Would you know what rotting flesh smelled like? Rotting human flesh. You smelled it
specifically, like rot, like flesh, like just you know any sort of flesh,
like bad meat,
like bad meat. It's sure. It's a bad meat smell. Is really what it is. I worked in a butcher shop for a long time. That's what bad meat smells like.
When did you work in a butcher shop?
From age 14 to 17.
What doing? What
butchering? What else do you do?
Butcher? I don't know. You're like a butcher's apprentice?
I was
14 years old.
Yeah, a butcher's assistant. So just cleaning. It was just cleaning is all it is.
Ugh,
just cleaning gross. Stuff.
Cleaning animals or cleaning like...
No, cleaning the building. Equipment. Yeah, cleaning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
You don't have to dress and
it clean was mostly kill? Like cutting the testicles off of animals. It's not that much. I don't want to talk about it, really.
They make good stress balls for a while.
Yeah. We had a big beanbag.
Real hard day.
We had a big beanbag chair in the back. Very comfortable. Very comfortable.
It's like boba.
But you got to see the size of the straw. It's like a paper towel tube. It's really disgusting. It's really awful.
Oh, boy. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry I brought that up. I'm sorry I took us down that line. So they start to smell like rotting flesh, and then the beds start lifting themselves off the floor.
Oh, which is worse.
Than rotting flesh?
Than the smell of rotting flesh? I think so. Because, I mean...
Well, it depends if the smell is just a smell, or like a ghost smell, or if there's like actual rotting flesh somewhere. Yeah.
I think... You light a candle. It's bad, but maybe like a couple candles.
Yeah, I think a few. First of all, I think just set the house on fire. That's your candle, and burn it all down is the right thing to do. But second, if there's actual rotting flesh, you're eventually going to find it.
True. Yeah.
Like, that's not going to be
there. It is. You know, it was.
Oh, thank God.
It was behind all the walls. I thought it was that that Pink Panther insulation. Turns out, no, just muscles.
And then, let's see, beds lifting off the floor, blah, blah, blah. The family mostly also tried to stay out of the basement. It had a dirt floor and was super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if your basement has a dirt floor, mm-hmm. that is haunted.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
With 100%. I mean, if you have a cellar, different. Like a root cellar, mm-hmm. fine. Dirt floor, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But if it's like a basement,
yeah,
absolutely not.
Like you can get to it from an interior door.
Yeah.
And it's just dirt.
Yeah. There are bodies buried there. Someone made a choice to not put a floor there for ease of disposal, for sure. So they didn't like going to the basement, but the furnace, which was down in the basement, of course, mm-hmm. would just stop working for no apparent reason, like a lot, which meant Roger had to go down into the basement to fix it. And when he did, he would often feel, quote, a cold, stinking presence behind him.
Ooh.
When he turned and looked, of course, there was never anything there. One of the daughters, Andrea, quote, was being tormented nightly by a malevolent female spirit with a bent neck she believed had been hanged.
Oh.
Did you see Haunting of Hill House?
I did not, because it's a scary movie. So,
it's first of all, it's a show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I also didn't see it.
it is scary, but it's more of a really, really gripping, like dark family drama.
Is it the one with like the dumbwaiter? There's like a dumbwaiter that goes down to the basement.
There is a dumbwaiter.
Okay. So I walked in on Amy watching that show and I made a fucking 180 degree turn out of the room.
It is so good. I don't really necessarily go in for scary stuff either. But Hill House was very good. One of the main, like, you know, there's ghosts. Yeah. I don't know if you, spoilers, I guess, to anyone who hasn't seen the show that came out 6 years ago called The Haunting of Hill House, based on a very famous book that's been out for decades. Mm-hmm. There's ghosts there. And one of the ghosts in the show is the bent neck lady.
Oh.
And it's the same thing, like someone who had their neck broken. And, like, the visual that they had, like, the way they make up this, I guess, you know, CGI or whatever, of this this ghost that appears a few times, is horrific. We could talk about that if you had seen the show, but you're
glad you're a
great big little sunflower over there, and so you haven't seen it, and that's okay.
It's also like popular media that's come out in the last 10 years, so the odds of me having seen it,
I do hear
pretty
I
low.
Hear that. Pretty low. That was one of my few choices. Aaron will not watch it either because of the scariness of it. So that's one that I watch alone. So that's even like a smaller slice of the pie.
Yeah.
It's like Aaron and I can watch some things together when I'm not doing all the other stuff in life with the girls and with work and everything, or watching shows or movies in the time that Aaron and I have together, a little bit more slice where I get to choose like one show every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And Hill House was one of those shows and it was worth every second. Do recommend.
Cool.
Anyway, so Andrea's being haunted by a spirit with a bent neck that was hanged. And she said the bent neck lady wanted to, quote, possess her mother and kill her and her siblings.
Mm.
Which is not what you want to hear when you are one of those siblings.
Yeah, yeah. The specificity. That's the problem right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm going to kill you. Like, oh, okay, you're a ghost. I'm going to possess your mother. On Wednesday, and then
oh no, this Wednesday?
No, I have a test that day.
That's pretty bad. In 2011, just to flash forward just a second, 2011, Andrea published a book about this whole thing, titled "House of Darkness, House of Light." And in that book, one of the things she wrote was, quote, whoever the spirit was, she perceived herself to be the mistress of the house, and she resented the competition my mother posed for that position. You looked like you wanted to, you had some words about the title, House of Darkness, House of Light.
I mean, it sounds scary, but also inspiring, right?
Like, it's hopeful.
I think.
So this is sort of the final straw for Carolyn. The mother, once she learns that this bent neck ghost lady wants to possess her and then kill her children, she doesn't love that.
Yeah, that's the line. That's the line.
It is the line. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Like, for me, the line is way earlier than that, but it makes sense. Like, that's the final line for sure.
Like, I have Glade plugins plugged in every fucking outlet of this house to get rid of the meat smell, but that one,
that's beyond the pale, my friend.
There's not enough plugins to go on to do that one.
And these things are like $4 a pop, and Roger will not take up his medical degree, this motherfucker. So she thinks, I would like to have this addressed now. Sure. Now I'm ready. So it never enters their kind of realm of possibility to move out of the house. They still, you know, they don't have enough money to go anywhere else that would fit them all.
Yeah.
So instead, she starts to do some research, which I can appreciate. She contacts a local historian, and so he gets to digging, and he schedules another meeting with her, and at the next meeting, he tells her about a woman whose name was Bathsheba Sherman. Come with me now, will you?
I shall.
So the story of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was born in 1812, and she married when she was 32, so that's pretty old.
Yeah, back then. Yeah.
Yeah. geriatric marriage, I think they call it, mm-hmm. medically speaking.
It's a mercy marriage right there. So,
she actually married on her 32nd birthday.
Oh, it's lucky.
Yeah. To a man named Judson Sherman. Judson owned a farm, and that was great. They had four children together, ultimately, and one of them survived.
Oh, lucky day.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll survive for a while. They lived nearby the present Perrone property, and according to the historian that Carolyn consulted, Bathsheba was totally distraught after losing her three children, and she started looking for answers, started looking for some ways to express her grief, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or maybe some ways to kind of change her situation a bit.
Mm-hmm. Healthy ways, and, right?
Yeah, I think so. Let's uh-huh. see. Oh, she took up witchcraft and became a Satanist.
Well, I mean, everyone needs a hobby. Amy does knitting, you know, but she chose that.
She knits for Satan, yeah. And we get that.
Have you ever seen the stitch pattern for a pentagram? It's really complicated. It's a lot of reducing, it's amazing. And you know, yeah.
So he, the historian says that she had taken out her anger on the farmhands, like of losing the children and everything. Mm-hmm. She'd taken it out on the farmhands. And that she would routinely starve them and beat them.
Mm.
And records do show that quite a few farmhands from that time did die oddly and suddenly by drowning, hanging, and, quote, murder. Fun distinction there.
Yeah.
So the historian also said that there was evidence that Bathsheba had been involved with the death of a neighbor's child.
Ooh.
She had been babysitting the boy when he mysteriously died. Hmm. Everyone's like, I don't know what happened. He just died. Yeah. It's a real mystery.
Every child around you dies. This is not great.
It's not ideal. Local doctors examine the body of the boy, and they're like, well, we know what happened. His skull was impaled.
Yeah,
so see his big that'll
hole.
Do it.
Yeah.
He saw this hole in his skull that goes deep into his brain, but we're pretty sure that had mm-hmm. something to do with it.
Yeah.
So it's impaled by a small tool, likely a knitting needle.
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't say. Like Amy, Bathsheba also knits.
Oh, no.
So keep your eyes open, bud. Sleep with one eye open. Now, this case never goes to trial because there's no actual evidence. It's all circumstantial, and so no one ever thought, like, we're going to
make
this work. But the local townsfolk are furious because they're like, it's clearly her. Like, she was babysitting him.
Right.
And then he died.
Yeah.
And she knits. Mm-hmm. And it was with, is very clear. A bit later, supposedly, Bathsheba eventually had her own son who lived. And according to legend, at least, she ended up stabbing him to death not long after he was born.
Oh.
And her husband caught her in the act of doing that and witnessed her vowing allegiance to the devil while doing it.
Hmm.
That didn't break up their marriage, though.
I mean, it sends you to couples therapy, obviously. That one,
well,
you
I
know.
Think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a very strong chance that if you walk in on that scene, mm-hmm. you are so scared of this person you have married.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Yeah. You going to leave her? Absolutely not. So he eventually dies much later in 1881. And according to this historian, again, Bathsheba follows a few years later at the impressive age of 73.
Oof.
She wandered out into the countryside. She found a good solid tree and she hanged herself until dead.
Wow.
Breaking her neck and doing so, of course.
Mm-hmm. And becoming?
And becoming the bent neck lady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tree where she hanged herself sat on what eventually became the Perrone family property. So, Carolyn hears all this, and she thinks, absolutely not. I'm out. So they think the house is haunted by multiple spirits, not mm-hmm. just Bathsheba.
Right.
But the most problematic one does indeed seem to be this horrifying.
There's also a boy that constantly makes tea in the kitchen. He's not such a big deal.
He does scrape the kettle a lot, and I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to possess my body and slaughter my children.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, just to be fair, mm-hmm. in her book, Andrea would later write that she did not believe that Bathsheba was the ghost. She thought the ghost was a woman from the next door Arnold estate who had hanged herself in the barn in 1797.
Mm-hmm. Very popular way to go, seems like.
I don't know what the options were in the 1700s.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, if you really want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, all the things that they thought that we would now be like, well, that's a way to do it. They'd be like, this is medicine.
Yeah.
What if I slit my wrist? Well, that's bloodletting, and that's going to make you feel a lot better.
Like, okay, what if I jump off a tall building? Oh, you mean the one that's 8 feet tall over there? Okay, well, that's fair. Yeah. I shoot myself with a musket. I just have to take 25 minutes to load the musket and figure out how to get on the other end of it.
My arm is not long enough to reach this.
Oh, fuck it. I'll just jump out of a tree.
I guess. Yeah. So... either way, so the Perrones know they cannot live like this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the last straw. But again, they can't afford to move. Mm-hmm. So they have to find a way to get rid of the ghost.
Ooh.
So they have to call in someone who understands ghosts. They pick up the phone, and they call Ed and Lorraine.
Yes!
Warren?
Hell yes.
Hell yeah. The Warrens are back, baby.
Oh.
So the Warrens come in. And they do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, you got ghosts. Mm-hmm.
It's, you're sick with them. Really, honestly.
It's really. and just to, you know, just to be clear, it's not that they just came in and were like, oh, haunted.
Mm-hmm.
They came out many times over the course of several years. This is a long-term project for them, as it always was. They took it very seriously. Mm-hmm. We are big Ed and Lorraine super fans over here, so we would never want to disparage them and say they just did it quickly. Mm-hmm. But in the end, they're like, yeah, these are ghosts and they're pretty malevolent and you got a real problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later on, again, flashing forward just for a second, later on, like much later on, a movie will be made about their story. And if you've watched the movie, which I know you have not, mm-hmm. and I also have not, but if you watch it, you would see there is apparently a very climactic scene in the movie where the Warrens perform an exorcism in the basement of the house. And things get, like, very fucking wild.
Okay.
I am here to tell you, because research is important, and we value truth above all on this podcast.
Absolutely, yeah. We're not here to, like, make shit up, right?
That's correct. That's no, never. We are here to only report on other things that people have made up. But I'm here to tell you, the Warrens did not perform an exorcism.
Oh.
So if you are a big fan of this movie and this franchise, friends listening, I am sorry to tell you that did not happen. And in fact, Lorraine Warren is on record in the 2000s saying about this haunting specifically that they never would have tried an exorcism because for that you need a priest.
Oh.
Ed was a demonologist, but he's not a priest.
Mm.
They know their stuff. So she said, no, that was not true. There was no basement exorcism. Now, there was a basement seance, and it got wild. So, Ed and Lorraine conducted a seance in the basement to try to connect with Bathsheba and any other spirits who wanted to swing
by.
And,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't want to exclude anybody. During the seance, Carolyn Perrone, again, the mom, she did indeed become possessed.
Oh, okay.
Bathsheba was living her best life. And it's possible the seance gave her the door she needed to actually possess Carolyn.
Ooh.
And so first Carolyn starts screaming.
Mm-hmm. As you do.
Then she starts, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would. Yeah. Man, if a demon entered my body, oh boy, there would be a lot of that right off the bat for sure. Then she starts speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And then she and her chair rise up from the ground and start floating in midair.
Hmm. Now, which tongues? Because, like, she's like Bathsheba, she's an 18th or 19th century woman that lived in the area.
Yeah.
Is it just like a...
Well, but you see...
What's the tongue? It's a common tongue.
If you are a ghost, I think you get the opportunity to travel back and forth between Earth and Hell.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
And then you just, you know,
you pick up some tongues. Yeah.
You pick up some tongues. Yeah. You go down there. It's Tuesday poker night. Yeah. You go down and everyone's like talking in tongues and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Let's go pick some up.
So yeah. You flip on the Duolingo and you're like, you know what? I'm going to learn Aramaic. Right now.
Yeah.
Right now. I got lots of time. Yeah. I'm going to fuck some people up with the Aramaic. I'll tell you that.
I am going to get the level 5 Aramaic badge tonight. So she's so this is all happening. Her chair flies in the air and it's floating. Now the kids were not invited to the seance. They were supposed to be in bed, but much like your children, sometimes they come downstairs. And Andrea snuck down to the basement stairs to watch.
Mm-hmm. The stupidest kids, just the stupidest kids alive.
Yes,
so far, I guess.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, alive is an interesting word. Let's find out. Now she did not enjoy what she saw. Here's a quote from her. I thought I was going to pass out. My mother began to speak a language not of this world in a voice not her own. Her chair levitated and she was thrown across the room. Now, eventually, they get the spirit out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Ed and Lorraine do their thing and the spirit goes away. And Carolyn is I guess, fine, probably.
Yeah. I mean, she got thrown across the room, but, you know, dust yourself off. Yeah.
But after the seance, Roger kicks the Warrens out of the house and tells them never to come back. And the reason he gave them, which I don't feel like was needed, it seems pretty self-evident, but he said that don't come back because his wife needs her sanity back.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, but the Warrens were also like, well, okay, but
yeah,
there are still ghosts here. Yeah. I don't know if that's like the thing.
Mm.
It's going to bring her sanity back. Roger informs them that the spirits, as annoying as they are, have never possessed anyone in the family before the Warrens got involved. And that is a fair argument.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Warrens say, well, you got us there. So they did return one more time just to make sure Carolyn had recovered okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't very welcomed then. And and they never came back. And they never saw the Perrones again.
Wow.
Now, the family couldn't afford to move, so they just lived with the ghosts until 1980, and the haunting just went on for like almost a decade.
Chain mom to the bed every night, and
you know, everything's great. So the Perrone story was turned into a movie, as I said, and this movie was called The Conjuring.
I have heard of this. You've
never heard of
this. No chance in hell I've watched that movie.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. The Conjuring obviously takes a lot of liberties, but this is the story. The movie was made based off the journals of the Warrens, as so many movies are. But they do move out in 1980 because they are able to finally, which I must have been an amazing moment for them.
I'm not sure which poor sap they sold this fucking house to, but that's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's now a museum. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay. That's a better way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Museum that closes at sundown. Strict. No.
So the ghosts are still in the house. I'll talk about it now, which is basically a museum now.
Mm-hmm.
And the current staff has identified a couple more of the spirits in addition to Bathsheba. For example, one of them is Abigail Arnold, who built the house with her husband, John, way back when. In life, she used to spend a lot of time in the cellar cooking and canning preserves. And today, she's still down there, and she will warn visitors to get out of the basement if she feels a malevolent spirit around.
Oh, a little canary. That's, I like that. Nice. Yeah, sure.
Canary in coal mine. Yeah. And she asks guests in the house to, quote, visit with respect.
Hmm.
There's also a ghost named Matthew. They don't know his deal.
He just likes tea. I don't tell you.
It's me, Matthew. I don't know. He didn't die there, so they don't know why he's there, but he is there.
That is that is just the worst possible way to come back. Really, like
you where come,
yeah.
Am I?
you're trying to like make like a ghost name for yourself. Like, I know I'm going to be the guy that like, you know, keeps scraping the tea kettle, and they're like, we don't know where the fuck this guy comes from. We don't know his deal. You just ignore him. You know,
it's like the afterlife grab bag, getting murdered somewhere horribly. Like, well, guess I'm going back to that, going to haunt that part of the highway where I was trampled by horses, right? Oh, actually, we had a different thing. Here's a, pick a hand, pick a hand. There you go. You can have right or left. Well, sorry. You're going to this house in Rhode Island in Patrick's least favorite city in the world.
Just the worst one.
So Matthew didn't die there, but he is, quote, very fun and caring to others, and has joked that it is weird that women wear pants and that music is strange now.
Kind of on his side, you know?
Yeah.
Music is very strange now.
Oh, I agree completely. Mm-hmm. When someone showed him how smartphones work, he called it, quote, witchcraft.
Well.
Also accurate.
Yeah, very, very.
Makes a lot of sense. And so the Conjuring House is still there, and it's real, and it's full of ghosts. And if you want to go and maybe get possessed and slaughter your own children in front of your spouse's eyes, you could go and check it out. It is, but Patrick will not be going because
he
hates
Providence
so much. Two reasons. Do you hate Providence more than you are scared of the Conjuring House?
Boy, it's neck and neck. I'll be honest. Yeah. It's like 51-49 every day. Every day.
That's what, every day you wake up thinking like, gosh, it's a Conjuring day today, I think. Oh, man. And that's our story. Do you have any final thoughts, final notes, Pat?
No, I'm just really excited to know there's another reason not to go to Providence, Rhode Island. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, we can just build a wall around that whole area and never go back. It's fine. I do remember going like on that drive, like, oh, Providence is coming up. We've heard of Providence. It must be like a cool, big, fun town.
Yeah.
And you like go over this hill and it's like, it looks like a hula hoop.
Yeah.
It's so small. Yeah. And we did drive through downtown. Right?
I believe so. Yep.
And it was
some sort of statue down by the waterfront. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, that was Providence, Rhode Island.
Quite
and
impressive.
Out of it. That's it.
Let's go get some lobster rolls. All right. Well, I haven't looked. I don't know how many more stories with the Warrens we have left. Eventually we're going to run out of those. So I gotta start spacing them out a little bit more, but it's always feels so nice to see them back.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Yeah.
Love those guys. Love those crazy kids. Well, I guess that'll do it for us this week. Is This a Ghost? Is a product of Smith Show Media. Notes are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media editor is Kai Valonis. And we've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun. How about you, Pat?
Oh, just a blast. Total
blast. That's great. It's great to hear. We'll see you again next week. And in the meantime, just watch where you're going. Don't look down at your phone. Keep your head up. Put it on a swivel because you never know what's out there gunning for you. And if you're not paying attention, then we might see you next week on this episode of Is This a Ghost?